Blog Talk Radio.
The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware. Because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever made a video or a movie? You know, have you ever posted something on YouTube? Well, I think most of us have done that. It's quite an experience. Tell me, can you imagine what it would be like to be, listen to this one, pissing on the pulse of the planet? Okay. Now, everyone who follows the show knows I love alliteration, but pissing on the pulse of the planet, that really pushes the envelope. Have you ever wanted to know why you are attracted to subversive comedic wit? You know, the stuff that's outside the box. Now, would you like to learn what happens when a PR man writes a book called The Dude Who Did Dictionaries? Obviously, he's into alliteration, too. Now, tell me, have you ever heard of a movie called My Father's Teeth? Now, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for today? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to create a new career? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I'll be introducing you to my guest. He is a success coach, and he will provide us with information, inspiration, and some really, really great advice about how to survive in Hollywood. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk for Media and syndicated on iHeartRadio Talk with over 55 million subscribers. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure at iHeartRadio. So now it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the no-wine zone. Pour yourself a glass of wine, get some cheese and crackers, and enjoy our show. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my guest today. He is a writer, director, and publicist. He's originally from Boston, but currently lives in the heart of Hollywood. In July 2014, he published his first novel, The Dude Who Did Dictionaries. It's the story of a man who leaves his high-paying job as an advertising copywriter to work in a bookstore and attempt to write the world's first all-sexual dictionary. It's a sprawling, gritty depiction of a recession-afflicted world. The Dude Who Did Dictionaries is a gripping account of one man's fatalistic downward spiral. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show today Josh Mitchell. Hi, Josh. How are you doing today?
I'm doing amazing, January. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you on the show. You know, you are a fabulous publicist, and I've had so many of your clients on the show, and it's been wonderful. You're a great resource for this show, and now I finally get to have you on the show. I like to start each show with my guests, having them share where their success story began and who their early mentors were.
Sure. I stem from Boston, as you might be able to tell from my accent. I parked a car in Harvard Yard. So
yeah.
Everything began with me in a small town called Hingham, Massachusetts, which is a suburb about 20 miles south of the city. I went to college at Roger Williams University in Bristol, Rhode Island, and I got a degree in journalism.
Mm-hmm.
So some of my mentoring started to happen at that juncture. I had some tremendous teachers that sort of opened my eyes up to, you know, new work that really inspired me.
Mm-hmm.
But one pivotal moment in my life was when I discovered a biography on the famous writer Henry Miller at the library.
Okay.
Henry Miller wrote a book called Tropic of Cancer that actually inspired the first NC-17 movie called Henry in June, with mm-hmm. Johnny Depp playing Henry Miller.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. A tremendous artist. He actually wrote his book in Paris, and then in his later years, he migrated to Big Sur, California. So I was able to travel out to both of those regions and sort of walk the streets that he walked. But, you know, he's really one of those writers that isn't afraid to push the envelope and, you know, unpainted, mm-hmm. You know, just edgy material that he's honest, raw, and that's kind of been an inspiration for me in a lot of my work, from my novel to my mm-hmm. film. I believe that niceness is the enemy of art, and so I like to get people sort of thinking, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, I would say you're definitely outside the box. I've been looking at your website, and some of the titles for your movies are just fantastic. So how did you get, Josh, from Boston to Hollywood? What happened there?
Well, I was working for T-Mobile, and I was working during the sort of pinnacle of cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in the sales world, and, you know, I've always had my heart in the entertainment world. So I made a film with my best friend from home. We made a movie called Roid Rage. It's a sort of wild, you know, it's kind of apropos with Halloween around the corner here. It was a horror thriller film that had to do with steroids and mad cow disease. So we made this feature film for the price of a protein bar, and we took it out to the Sundance Film Festival,
an
official selection. Uh-huh. But I traveled out there, and this is over 10 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went out to the big festival, and I learned how to sort of navigate the festival circuit, how to attend the best events, how to meet the top distribution agents. And, you know, I batted my brown eyes, and I learned that, you know, this is value right here. So mm-hmm. I've always had the personality in terms of dealing with people, and I'm not afraid to sort of put an initiative on a goal. So mm-hmm. I created out of really nothing my publicity firm.
Okay.
So, you know, most people work for an agency and then they branch out and then maybe start their own gig. I sort of took the other route. I created a boutique out the gate out of sort of nothing, just me, and I've grown it over the last, you know, 10 years. So my company originated, and, you know, we'll get into the name of my company, Wicked Pizza, which is really just a colloquial slang term from Boston that means really cool. So you'll hear a lot of people say, hey, man, that movie last night was Wicked Pizza. You know, that was just wicked.
Uh-huh.
So I wanted a term that sort of encapsulates me, and that piece really is my Valentine, my sort of tip of the hat to my hometown, mm-hmm. and that's where it all really began.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and when you say Wicked Pizza, it's spelled WICKIDPISSA, and I'm sure this was on my list of questions to ask you where that came from, and now you've shared that with us. when you look back at growing up in Boston, I mean, you grew up there, and Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, all of you grew up there. Who were your early mentors besides Henry Miller?
You know, I didn't have a ton. I mean, obviously, we can definitely reference what Ben and Matt have done, which is just tremendous. I mean, they've reached the top of the mountain, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like filmmaking wise, I mean, I had an excellent journalism teacher named Ted Delaney, who was a tremendous writer, really prolific, had his own column in Denver. He was one that sort of inspired me to continue to explore the written word. From filmmaking, though, I mean, I grew up in a great time. This is actually before digital now. We live in a wonderful world now where I can use the same cameras that Spielberg and, you know, the best and the brightest in the film world use. But we were experimenting. I would say really my mentor would probably be my best friend, Patrick Ryan, who was a kid that, you know, he was a real technical guru. So I've always been sort of an idea guy, a creative writer, but he was one that was kind of had his pulse on the cameras that were going. I mean, he made a shoot on the PXL 1000, which was a Fisher-Price camera. And then we experimented as the technology grew. We kept kind of going in line with it.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, now with these red cameras, you can get images that are just immaculate. But he was one that I guess he kind of shed the light on a path for us to continue to explore technically, trying to capture stuff. And if you look us up on YouTube, you can see the trajectory of him and I shooting on these home cameras to where we are now. It's kind of interesting to see. And it's, you know, obviously it was a great in the trenches way to learn filmmaking as well.
Oh, it is fascinating, this digital age. I went this past weekend. I was in Westlake Village, California, and I went to watch my grandson play hockey. And one of the boys on the team actually had a camera attached to his helmet. And as he's out there skating, he's filming himself and the ice and the players. And I thought, wow, this is just one of the best times to be alive with all this technology. And another thing that's wonderful to be alive with are my sponsors. So we're going to hear from them right now. And when we come back with Josh, we're going to talk about his first novel, The Dude Who Did Dictionaries. We'll be right back.
With over 30 years as a registered nurse with empathic ability, Carolyn Green, a.k.a. the Energy Nurse, is bridging the gap between traditional and alternative medicine. Certified in the areas of energy medicine, life coaching, and as a medical intuitive, she brings to each client an integrative approach to body, mind, and spirit. Her book, found on Balboa Press and Amazon, Getting to Know You, Guided Pearls of Wisdom for a More Soulful Existence, is a channel journey for clearing the mind clutter to bring about healthier thought patterns. As a motivational speaker, Carolyn brings new light to old issues and is engaging, interactive, and enlightening. With her newly launched The Energy Nurse jewelry line, she brings to you stones and crystals that are not only beautiful to wear, but balancing and healing as well. To contact or learn more about Carolyn, go to www.theenergynurse.com. Are you pursuing your passion, doing what you really want to do in life? You ever feel everyone around you is succeeding, leaving you behind, feeling unhappy and unsatisfied with your life? There are many ways to become successful, but getting there is half the battle. In his book, Finding Your Road to Success, How to Get There Without Getting Lost, Patrick Daniel shares tips on what it really takes to be successful. As a CPA, chartered professional accountant, author, life coach, charity founder, investor, and family man, Patrick lives success every day of his life. Connect with Patrick at www.findingyourroadtosuccess.com.
January Jones wants you to grow your business fast, getting free PR, doing interviews with podcasters and internet radio shows. Grab your free copy of our audio how-to course called How to Build Your Business, Get More Email Subscribers, and Make More Money Free Doing Podcast and Internet Talk Radio Interviews. Grab your copy right now at realfasttalkradio.com. Again, that website is realfasttalkradio.com.
Welcome back to Real Fast January Jones, sharing success stories. And today I'm sharing my guest, Josh Mitchell, and we're going to talk about his first novel, The Dude Who Did Dictionaries. Now, what inspired this novel, Josh?
Basically, it was my love of the written word. I always pick a subject basically that surrounds occupation. And I became really fascinated with lexicographers, those who write dictionaries. I had never really seen any creative pieces on that. And studying the works of like Samuel Johnson and Noah Webster, I thought, wouldn't that be interesting to sort of, you know, modernize that idea? Mm-hmm. You know, now we're so blessed, obviously, we can type in a word in Google and we can get it immediately. But, you know, the idea of the nostalgia of having to open up a dictionary and the way that those words, what decides and who decides why those words eventually get put in that master book. So I wanted to do something that sort of encapsulated all that and also brought in the idea of the challenges of the 9-to-5 job. You know, I mean, as a self-employed individual, I'm always fascinated about those that have to punch the clock. And, you know, that's something that I thought could be really nicely explored. So that's where, that's sort of the genesis of the novel.
Okay. And it's a gripping account of his fatalistic downward spiral. Now, when you wrote that, did that spiral take you down or did it inspire you?
Oh, no, it inspired me. It inspired me so much that I actually made a film. I adapted the novel into a film, and it's called Frank Flutie, which is the name of the protagonist of the novel. I kind of changed it to Frank Flutie, the dude who did dictionaries. And, you know, it's about my experience of working in at a corporate entity in Boston called Banker and Tradesman. So it's loosely based on my experience. My first job out of college was as a sales guy for a real estate financing banking newspaper. I basically sold ad space. And, you know, not to date myself, but this is before really the internet was huge. Email wasn't even that prolific at this point. We're talking about 1997. So, you know, it's a little autobiographical in terms of my experience in my first job post-college. And, you know, it kind of leans on the edgy part is that the idea of, is this possible? He leaves his job so he can write the first ever all-sexual dictionary. He's going to capture every euphemism, every slang word, every word uttered in any Asian, you know, hair salon, anybody in the steam room at the gym. So it's a challenge. And it's one that, you know, he willfully tries to take on, but, you know, then obviously there's a lot of complications that come along that way.
Well, this must have been an amazing book to do research on.
It was fun. Yeah, it was really fun. That was the sort of joy of it all, was, you know, talking to different lexicographers and researching all the different publications. And, you know, it's, I like to think it's highbrow, but it has, you know, obviously has a profane sort of undertone to it, but it's written from a real literary standpoint.
Yeah. Now, did you do surveys? How did you get this research? How did you find out all this information? Because, you know, when I wrote Thou Shalt Not Wind, the 11th Commandment, I sent out hundreds of surveys and people responded. How did you get your information?
There's a lot of research in terms of the plight in the early history of lexicographers, you know, studying what it actually does take to put together a Webster dictionary. Usually it's a framework of teams, you know, it's a lot of teams. So I start with sort of the history of where this guy stemmed from, and then I kind of build into him sort of, you know, similar to me, you know, like, you know, breaking out from an agency, he decides he's going to go off on his own. So I spoke with, you know, I spoke with a diversity of lexicographers. I read up on all, you know, journals and diaries of different individuals and what it took for them to put together a real robust and real user-friendly dictionary. So that was the fun part, you know.
It sounds like it must have. It sounds like this should have been a show on Comedy Central, because I think you'd be a good fit for them. Your next show.
You have to watch the film. The movie Frank Flutie, Here's a Funny Pit, is that it stars my real father, Charles Mitchell, in the film as well. And my dad is a blue-collar painter out of Rockland, Massachusetts, which is a suburb of Boston. So we just had great luck where Frank Flutie was accepted and just screened at the Gwinnett International Film Festival in Duluth in Georgia. So we traveled down and did the festival circuit with the film. So it's been a nice cherry on top for the novel.
Oh, yeah. You know, my dad was also a house painter, and I grew up in a real blue-collar neighborhood, probably very much like where you grew up. I grew up in Detroit, and you grew up in Boston. Isn't it an interesting background when you have that kind of a growing up in those kind of areas? It just gives your life a different – you have a different look at life, don't you?
Oh yeah, I mean, I grew up in these projects called Rockland Place, which is a fun area to grow up in. I mean, we were resourceful little kids. We would take the carriages behind Kmart, we would stack them in the basketball courts, and we would use them as baskets. I mean, the stuff that we did as youngsters in terms of like our athletic endeavors was just so witty and crafty, and it really taught me a lot about life and probably molded me into the sort of resourceful person that I am.
And it also gives you that subversive comedic wit, because when you're living that kind of life and when you grow up in cities, that you have to survive by your wit and humor. That's the only thing that will get you through, don't you agree?
Laughter is the music of the soul. Yeah, you have to use it as a weapon and use it as a tool, and I believe it's amazing. I think there's a reason why you see a lot of these comedians too. They end up sort of transitioning into dramatic roles as well. I mean, we can reference everyone from Robin Williams to Jim Carrey. It starts with the humor, and I feel like it makes you just, they're really complex people. Unique.
You know, when you're talking about comedic subversive wit, I think of Billy Crystal, because he has done it all. He's been stand-up, he's done Broadway, he's done movies, and he always he's outside the box all the time, and he always just makes me laugh so much. Outside our box are our sponsors, and they're waiting to come on right now. We're going to hear from them, and when we come back with Josh, he's going to share his website information, how you can get his books, and we're going to talk about his movie-making career. We'll be right back.
January's co-host, Connie Cockrell, the author of Mystery at the Fair, has been writing since 2011 after a challenge from her daughter. An eclectic writer, she's written mysteries, sci-fi, fantasy, and even a thriller. She has been included in 4 different anthologies and published on the e-zine Everyday Fiction. Connie continues to write and entertain with whatever comes into her head. You can find her books on most ebook retail sites. Paperback editions are also available. Be sure to visit her at www.conniesrandomthoughts.com, on Facebook, and on Twitter at Connie Cockrell. The new book, God Reconsidered, Searching for the Truth in the Battle Between Atheism and Religion by Scott Smith, explains why both militant atheists and believers in traditional religions ignore inconvenient truths. Scott argues in favor of the insights of Gnostic Christianity. Check out GodReconsidered.com to read a sample chapter. That's GodReconsidered.com. Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back to the No Whine Zone. We're visiting with my guest, publicist, writer, director, Josh Mitchell. Josh, could you share with my listeners how they can go to your website, how they can get your books, and how they can watch your movies?
Sure. The best way to watch my work is via my director's reel, which is on Vimeo. I use Vimeo to... A lot of my films are for sale on there through their distribution platform called Vimeo Demand. And so that URL is vimeo.com/pickandroll. It's PickNRoll. And again, if you Google Josh Mitchell, Wicked Piss of Films, all of my work will come up. My latest film is called Desert Drive. And it's called The Road to Coachella. It's about four L.A. musicians who make the two-hour journey from Hollywood out to the Coachella Music Festival. And it's all about the sort of escapades that happen on the way there. The tagline is, sometimes the way there is half the fun. So you can check that out. It's been doing really well, and I'm really proud of it. It's a fun comedic piece based on another novel that I wrote called Spring Break. So please check that out. You can, if you're interested in learning more about my PR company, that's simply just wickedpissapublicity.com. My novel is available via Amazon. So just amazon.com and type in the dude who did dictionaries, and you'll be able to find it right there. So I'm pretty easy to locate.
Yeah, you're certainly out there. And let's just talk about this other book that you released in 2014, Pissing on the Pulse of the Planet, a book that offers unique musings on sex, politics, pop culture, all viewed through the lens of his Mitchell's subversive comedic wit. How do you go about, how much fun is that to make a movie? I bet that's, is that your favorite thing in the world to do?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But the thing that's amazing about that book, Pissing on the Pulse of the Planet, and again, that really is my sort of, we want to trace, the inspiration was like sort of Henry Miller. And at that time, Howard Stern had released a book called Private Parts, and George Carlin had a book called Brain Droppings. So Pissing on the Pulse of the Planet is a nonfiction book, which basically it's the perfect bathroom reading. You can pick up at any page and sort of be enlightened. It's a collection of nonfiction essays that I write on, you know, from sex to rock and roll to pulp culture to women. And, you know, I've sold thousands of copies, and it's created a lot of funny ripples in my life, and I've featured it in a lot of my work. And, you know, I consider it kind of like my college thesis. I wrote that when I was graduating from college, and then I partnered with a small publishing firm called Yellow Moon Press. And we brought it into the world, and it's people have been discovering it all over, so it's been great.
Well, you're very prolific. I love you wrote The Art of Football. You also wrote Spring Break, the dude who did dictionaries, Roid Rage, which is R-O-I-D. Which one is your favorite book?
My favorite book is one that's being released soon, and it's called Germ of a New Insanity. It's a wild piece. It's about an underground artist that uses the world as his paper. He writes on the back of stop signs, on the side of trains. And This one was inspired by my favorite artist, who's a guy named Keith Haring, who basically used the Underground Railroad of the New York City Metro as his museum. He would write on these blank poster boards that would be stripped, and he would use chalk. And he became so famous that later in life, not only did he get into the galleries to do this, but people began to steal his underground writings, and they sold for really big money. He was the protege of Andy Warhol, and I've written a biopic on him that I'm hoping is going to be my Academy Award winner. I know that sounds a little ambitious, but it's kind of like the movie Jackson Pollock, where, you know, Ed Pollock starred as Jackson Pollock. And, you know, he this guy Haring lived a really amazing vitality life. You know, he painted and lived as hard as possible. He grew up in New York City in the early 80s before anybody had heard of AIDS. Unfortunately, he passed away in 1990, but he was friends with Madonna and Mick Jagger and, you know, all the other tremendous artists that came out of that period. And I think it can be a really amazing film. So I'm taking that to the studios out here in Hollywood now, and I'm hoping that it's going to end up being a major motion picture one day.
Oh, I hope so, too, because I certainly would love to see it. When you look at your career, you're doing publicity, you're writing books, you're doing movies. What is your absolute favorite thing to do, the movies?
Yeah, I'd have to say the films because, you know, I'm sort of positioning myself as a Boston Woody Allen type. I mean, that's my, guess you could say that's a mentor. I like to be an auteur, which is basically I like to write, direct, and star in my own intimate and personal stories. You know, and if I never end up striking real major league success in terms of, you know, huge finances, I wouldn't doubt that I'll be an 80-year-old man still sort of making these stories about all the different, you know, trials and tribulations I've had in the world. You know, my latest film is called My Father's Teeth.
Yeah, let's
another
talk
piece I shot with my real father, and we're actually having a great screening of it tonight at the Hammer Museum on the UCLA campus, so I'm excited about that. And we have it submitted to Sundance and Slam Dance Film Festival. But it's about, and this is based on a true story, I mean, it's kind of embarrassing for my father, but he had dentures. And one night last year for New Year's, we were out at a historic place on Hollywood Boulevard called the Frolic Room, the dive bar where Charles Bukowski used to party at. And, you know, it was New Year's, so we had a little bit of champagne. And so my father ended up actually losing his teeth that night. We couldn't find them. So the next day we woke up and I had to call. And I'm calling all these places. Did you guys happen to find a pair of teeth? It was a hilarious reaction. So I sat down couple weeks later, I decided, you know what? That would be a great autobiographical film. And so I wrote a short screenplay about it, and we executed it about a month ago. My dad flew out from Boston, and, you know, I really like what we have. And it's, you know, I got it out at the festival circuit now, and you can watch the trailer as well. I believe I sent it to you, January. You can witness that on my Vimeo account as well.
Yeah, the trailer is an absolute hoot, and I really could relate to it because both my mom and my father had false teeth dentures, and every night they would put them in a glass on each side of the bed. They'd put their teeth there before they went to bed. So I grew up looking at false teeth, and then when my father's teeth came, I watched the trailer and I laughed because I can't imagine what would happen to my father if he lost his teeth. Has he ever done any acting before, or was this his first movie?
Well, my dad starred in the film Frank Flutie as well, which we've been we've been taken around the festival circuit. He's been in a couple others, but I mean, as I said, he's not a, he's just a natural. He's a personality, and he's kind of got the good heart to, you know that this is my passion and what I love to do. And we like, we're best friends, so we love to spend time together. And he's coming out for Thanksgiving, and I think I might have to write another piece for him because people, the reaction has been unbelievable, and we have such a, we couldn't have had more fun doing it. So it's
great. He's truly a talent. He's a natural. You know, the camera loves him. Actually, the camera adores him. And I hope that when he goes to the Oscars after he's nominated, I hope he'll take you along as his escort.
He better. I'll be his bodyguard. So all the pretty women don't try to get him on the red carpet, you know.
Well, speaking of favorite people, we have some sponsors to hear from, and then we will be right back with Josh Mitchell.
From cowgirl to caregiver to consultant, meet Becky Fiola, author of The Elder Care Consultant, your guide to making the best choices possible. Growing up on remote ranches across the western states, she tended to orphan creatures large and small. Later on, that nurturing instinct served her well as the primary caregiver for her late husband. And now, she offers hope and guidance as a consultant to the elderly and their families. When you need advice on caring for an aging loved one, you can find those answers and her book at Amazon.com and her website, www.assistedlivingadvantage.com. Joining January Jones as her co-host on the show is Miles Millard, the great success creator. Miles is a two-time best-selling author with books entitled Against the Grain and Successonomics. He continues to transform 100,000 people all over the world through his speaking and training. His uplifting and essential messages like Bulletproof, Time Machine, and Strength in Numbers are impacting every audience he meets. Together with January Jones, they'll explore how to be successful and what steps you can take to achieve the success you want. Visit successhq.net, leadup.biz, and learningbreaks.com.
Become the next great business success story by getting free PR for your business. That's why January Jones is offering a free copy of the new audio how-to course called How to Build Your Business, Get More Email Subscribers, and Make More Money Free Doing Podcast and Internet Talk Radio Interviews. Your copy is free for the asking at realfasttalkradio.com. Again, that website is realfasttalkradio.com. Go now.
Welcome back to Real Fast January Jones and Real Fast Josh Mitchell. Josh, briefly, could you share your website information one more time for our listeners?
Sure. It's vimeo.com/pickenroll, PickNroll. And my publicity firm is just simply wickedpissapublicity.com.
Okay.
Again, it's WICKID.
Uh-huh. Wicked Pissa and the video.com?
Vimeo. It's VIMEO.com.
Okay, I got it. I'm writing that down. Hope everyone will go and check out Josh's website's fabulous. And at his website, you can go and watch some of the trailers for the films that he's made. Josh, you've had quite an interesting success story. You left Boston. You came to Hollywood. When you look back on this journey that you've taken, do you have any advice that you would give our listeners, people who are thinking of becoming subversive comedic wits, or do you have any things that you wish you could do over?
My biggest advice would be to don't wait for somebody to knock on your door. Knock the door down. I've learned that most of my success has come from putting in the initiative myself. You know, you can't wait for opportunities in Hollywood or in the entertainment world. It just doesn't happen that way. So you got to consistently be creating stuff. You know, content is king in LA. So don't wait for somebody to think that you might be the perfect person for a part. Write your own part, you know. Create your own path, and then you'll be so good that nobody will be able to say no to you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you have any regrets?
Yeah, not really. I mean, one thing that stands out a little bit is that when I was in high school, I felt like I could have revolutionized the drama program a little bit more. There was a lot of bias towards drama kids. That's this sort of world during the 80s. And I feel like I could have been more of a leader. And, you know, my mother used to always tell me, she would say, listen, Arnold Schwarzenegger is a drama guy. You know, it's like people would think of drama kids as sort of, I don't know, dainty individuals or something. And, you know, I could have really stood at the forefront. So, you know, if I had a time travel machine, I would go back and sort of, you know, try to be more of a mouthpiece for that, because it obviously became my biggest passion. So.
And, you know, it's interesting, like most of the drama kids and the band kids, somehow they get this kind of a geek reputation, but the reality is they are probably the most innovative and creative people within the system. Don't you agree?
Exactly. You got it. You feel my sentiments then. I mean, last time I checked, I think Brad Pitt is kind of a cool drama kid, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, did you do drama in college or you just did journalism?
I was actually editor-in-chief of the school newspaper and a DJ in college.
Oh,
that took up a lot of time. So that was great. I got to be creative on the airwaves, and I got to publish a lot of compelling and insightful pieces and profiles on, you know, unique individuals that were attending the school or, you know, some guest lecturers that we had come in. So that was really valuable. I mean, the time I had at Roger Williams was really great because it was a small school. So you got a lot of attention from the teachers, and it wasn't too far from Providence, so I was able to go and see a lot of Broadway shows. And, you know, escaped to Newport, Rhode Island to the beaches. So my time was just unbelievable in college.
Now, which do you prefer, the East Coast or the West Coast?
Well, that's a tricky one. I mean, obviously, my accent and my heart is, based in Boston. I mean, there's not a greater city in the summertime than Beantown with its tremendous colleges and amazing sports, from the Patriots to the Red Sox to the tremendous cuisine of lobsters and the chowder. But I'll tell you, California is a special place. I mean, the amount of pure, untainted, unspoiled nature that you get out here, and the consistency of the weather, it's pretty amazing. So I guess I'm a bi-coastal guy now.
Okay.
But obviously I'm true to the Boston baked beans forever, you know.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Well, I'm from Michigan, and my husband's from Ohio, and we go back every year to watch Ohio State play. It's just fabulous to go back and
fun.
See it.
The football rivalry. Rivalry is unbelievable. I had the chance to go back to Boston for the 4th of July.
My old shipmates,
my buddies that had been there since the get-go, and, you know, I had a tremendous time. It was just so beautiful.
It's a wonderful place. And, of course, I lived in California for 42 years, so I adore California. It's fabulous, and it's such a creative, vibrant place, especially for someone like you. You're doing publicity, writing, directing. What's your next project going to be?
So I'm in pre-production right now on a new piece I wrote called The Fruit of the Fungus. It's about a truffle hunter. Yeah, it's an interesting story. Again, you know, I like to center my creative pieces around a unique occupation. And I kind of got fascinated with, you know, the luxury of these truffles. And when I say truffles, I'm talking about rare underground nuggets that are digged up and sold for expensive amounts to unbelievable chefs around the world. So it's kind of about a family piece, about a brother and sister who are estranged, and then a dying father that leaves them a map to a truffle orchard that he hid. And it's sort of a race to whoever can get there first. So I'm pretty excited. I plan to shoot it next month. I'm casting now. I'm raising some funds. And the script has got some great responses. So I'm ready to turn those cameras on again. That's what I live for.
Well, I can't wait to see it and hear about it. And I love what your father did. I also want to submit my resume. If you're ever looking for a 70-year-old granny, here I am.
You got it. Yeah. To make the world go round. I believe films should be mirrors to society. So we're never too young, too old to be in a movie, because they should represent life, and you know, we're living in it. So we are walking pawns in the film world. I love it.
Wonderful. And I've loved having you on the show. Thank you so much. It's been a delight to finally meet you. I've worked with so many of your clients. You're a great publicist. Thank you, Josh Mitchell, and I hope you will come back and visit with us again.
January, I cannot articulate how much I appreciate all the support, and I really look forward to continuing our relationship, and the pleasure has been all mine.
Me too. To my wonderful listeners, I hope you've enjoyed our show today as much as I've enjoyed doing it with Josh. My upcoming guests are all just like him, exciting, eclectic, and energizing. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. When you can, sign on to my website, januaryjones.com. We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and especially our secrets for success. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, my dear friends, please stop with the whining and then start smiling and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then you can start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my guest, Josh Mitchell. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe as we close with music by Sorantos.
This is Sorantos, and you're listening to January Jones. I hope you enjoy the music. This is Sorantos. I hope you enjoyed January Jones' latest episode.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.